The American judicial system guarantees a trial by jury for every accused person. To sentence a man without a trial would disqualify any judge. I'll be back in a moment to talk about justice and the guilty offender. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we want to consider the same theme that we've been dealing with for a number of days on the broadcast. We want to look into one of the most controversial texts in all the Bible. It's a parable Jesus gave, although some people don't really believe it's a parable. And today we're going to establish from the Scripture itself that this is a parable indeed. The story is found in Luke 16, verses 20 to 31. We'll read a little bit of the story in order to acquaint you with the details. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, there's the story, friends. And it's often read to prove that the good people go to heaven, the bad people go to hell, the very minute they die. But it ought to be remembered that never can parables be used to contradict another plain statement in the Bible that's not a parable. Now, Jesus taught in another place that the wicked are not punished, and the righteous are not rewarded until after the resurrection takes place. Now, let's notice this in John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now please notice that Jesus declares that all, both good and bad, are in the graves. And when the time comes, both shall come forth, not from heaven and torment, but from the graves. That the wicked are not present in a place of torment is plainly taught also in 2 Peter 2:9. We read there, The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, since the day of judgment has not come yet, friends, it's plain that the lost are not suffering in torment now. This would be gross injustice, even on the part of a human judge. And we can't even imagine the God of the universe dealing in something like this. Now, let me kindly remind those who read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, to prove that man has an immortal soul, that the word soul and spirit are nowhere in the Bible mentioned at all in relation to eternal existence. And the word soul and spirit are not used anywhere in this story at all. The subjects here have physical bodies, with eyes, fingers, tongue, and so forth. Now, since this is the case, no one should read the story to prove that man exists in some sort of a bodiless state after death. This man, who is in torment, has a body, and he wants water to be placed on his tongue, and he lifts up his eyes. So this could not be proving any kind of a condition of man in a spirit form. Now, to those who would insist that all this is literal and pictures the actual condition of the saved and the lost after death, I ask this question. Do you believe that the saved in heaven and the condemned and damned in torment are so close to each other that they can see and hear one another and talk back and forth? The loved ones, for example, that are suffering in the torment, can their loved ones on the other side hear their pitiful pleading for somebody to relieve them of their misery? If that's what Jesus meant to teach, friends, then no one can deny that a mother in heaven, every minute of eternity, will have to listen to the pleading voices of son, daughter, husband, mother, father to do something, oh, do something, it'll give me a moment's relief from this terrible agony. Could that mother be happy and enjoy the peace of heaven, friends, seeing and hearing the sufferings of her loved ones? If this parable is to be taken literally, as many preachers insist, then there's no escaping of this horrible picture. If the suffering of loved ones now in beds of affliction keep us from being happy, will we contend that in the future life we'll be so hard-hearted that these sufferings multiplied millions of times in intensity would not disturb our happiness in the least bit? Who would want to live in a heaven like that, friends? Now, to those who, in spite of all this, persist in contending that this story is to be taken in a literal sense, that it pictures what actually happens right after death, let's ask another question. Do you believe that all the saved go into Abraham's literal bosom as soon as they die? Now, obviously, that's a figurative expression because that beggar died and it says was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And it's not unfair for us to ask you whether you take that literal or not. So far, we've been attempting to prove that this parable does not mean what it's often interpreted to mean. It does not teach that the good go to heaven and the bad go to torment the very next minute after death. It does not teach that there is an immaterial spirit or soul that comes out of the body at death and remains in a conscious state. It does not teach that in the future world the lost and saved are so close to each other that they can see and talk to each other. Now, having found what it does not mean, let's see if we can discover by comparing spiritual things with spiritual just what Jesus meant to teach when he gave this story. I believe it can be proved that the rich man represented the proud, self-righteous Jews, and that the poor man represented the despised Gentiles, and that Jesus was tactfully warning the Jews that if they continued to reject the Messiah of Moses and the prophets, the time would come when they would die to their national relationship with God as a chosen people, and that the Gentiles, whom they despised and ignored, would come in to take their place. The fact that he kept praying to Father Abraham certainly proves that he was a Jew. None will deny that Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation and that they put a great deal of confidence in being Abraham's seed. And so this rich man then is praying to Father Abraham, meaning that the rich man represents a Jewish people. When John was appealing to them to repent, he added this, "And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Matthew 3:9. And on another occasion Jesus said to them, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And their answer was, "We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man." John 8:33. Well, it seems that this is quite sufficient to prove that the rich man who prayed to Abraham represented the Jewish nation. Now, this story says that the rich man fared sumptuously every day, and no nation was ever favored with so many blessings as the Jewish nation. Reminding them of this, Moses said in Deuteronomy 4:7-8, "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" Well, friends, this is very, very true. And then notice how he continues. "Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation by temptations and signs and wonders, and by a mighty hand, by a stretched-out arm? Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice." Oh, yes, friends, it was a purpose of God that they should share these favors and spiritual blessings with the Gentile people. There are plenty of texts that prove that God wanted the Jews to go out and evangelize the Samaritans and the Greeks and the Romans and the Gentiles. But in the parable, the rich man, instead of sharing his blessings with the poor man, he ignored him and looked on him with scorn. And this was precisely the attitude of the Jews toward the Gentiles. The Jews associated the Gentiles with the dogs and ignored them completely. We find an illustration of this in Matthew 15:21-28. Then went Jesus thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, now notice this is a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now notice what Jesus did now. He assumed toward her the same attitude as did the Jews in order to teach his disciple how wrong it was. It says, But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now notice, friends, how she's acting the part of a beggar. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Yes, we remember similar language now in the parable, don't we? She meant that she'd be satisfied with just the crumbs of his service. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, how strikingly this illustrates the story of the rich man and the beggar. It'll be remembered that the rich man had no dealings with the poor man, and it's a fact that the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. Now, when Jesus spoke kindly to the woman at the well, she was surprised and said, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, this woman had Gentile blood in her, and that's why the Jews had no dealings with them. Even the disciples were infected with this Jewish prejudice against the Gentiles, and they marveled that he talked with that woman. Now, when Peter was instructed in a vision to visit the Gentile family of Cornelius, when he went into the house, he said, Ye know how that it's an unlawful thing for a man who's a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, Acts 10:28. So the very feelings of the rich man toward the beggar in the parable was to illustrate the feelings of the Jews toward the Gentiles. The time came when the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torment. Now, what happened to the Jewish people, friends? We know that the time came when they died to their former relationship to God as a chosen people, and the Gentiles did come in and take their place. We don't have time in the last moments of our broadcast today to tell of the great sufferings that have come to the Jewish people and how those things were mentioned in the Bible even, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. God said that these torments would come to them because of the way they dealt with others and the great message of truth that had been delivered to them. They didn't share it with others. Therefore, the Gentiles did come in, and they were grafted into the tree and took the place of the Jews as far as the spiritual blessings of God were concerned. The final proof that the certain rich man represented the Jews is proved by the statement, They have Moses and the prophets, which simply means the writings of the Old Testament. And these scriptures came through the Jews and not the Gentiles. And if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead. And this was proved later when Jesus did rise from the dead. And although they believed it and bribed the witnesses not to tell it, yet in spite of all this, they would not be persuaded. So we can see what the parable really teaches. And now this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.